Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 37 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
What the caseworker can do is meet with the child and the family, identify the needs that that child or family may have, and then work to get those needs met.
Communications specialist Kevin Compton says doing that at Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital is now possible thanks to a grant from the Crusade for Children.
A drug bust in Floyd County sent one deputy to the hospital yesterday.
And Ashland commissioners vote to reorganize three city departments.
In sports, the Moorhead State men's basketball team plays at Tennessee Tech tonight at 7.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Cloudy with a chance of some snow showers tonight. Lows in the upper 20s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Ashland City Commissioners have taken the first step in the reorganization of three departments. They voted 3-1 this afternoon to consolidate the operations of planning, community development, and economic development in one office. Commissioner Marty Gute says it'll promote efficiency and cut costs.
Well, it saves us about $50,000 in administrative cost savings. And the thing about it is when somebody retires or goes to another position outside the city and a position is left open like that, we always look from within to try to fill that. And we also look for the efficiency if we could combine departments.
Chris Pullum will now direct the new office. He's currently Ashland's Economic Development Director. Commissioner Matt Perkins voted against the plan. He says bringing new jobs to Ashland is the city's top priority. Perkins is concerned that adding duties to the Economic Development Chief's position could impair that effort.
All I want to make sure is that we are giving 100% what our Economic Development Department needs to do their job. And all it really was just me objecting to adding the extra roles to that person, especially at such a critical time for us.
The measure was passed on a first reading, which means it'll be back before commissioners next month for final approval.
Huntington Mayor Steve Williams has announced $2.6 million in budget cuts and the layoffs of nearly 7% of the city's workforce. The move announced Thursday addresses a projected $4.8 million budget deficit this fiscal year. In a news release, Williams says the layoffs of 24 employees include 11 police officers and 7 firefighters, nearly all of whom were recently hired. In addition, 6 civilian employees in the police department are being let go. Williams says the state's second-largest city has made every effort to save as many jobs as possible and continue providing essential services. The move will leave the city with a $2.2 million deficit.
Work is picking up on downtown Lexington's Centerpoint project. WKYT reports more than 100 concrete trucks began the next stage of construction last night on the project that was approved 9 years ago. Developer Dudley Webb is pleased to make some progress.
Public's been very patient. I apologized before about the delays, but those things happen in the development world, but it's good that it's go.
Webb says crews are currently working on a parking garage, but the full project includes 2 hotels, an office tower, a restaurant, and retail space. He says the garage should be complete in May, but won't be available for use until the 2 cranes at the site are taken down. He expects that to happen about a year from now.
Moorhead State University's Board of Regents are moving closer to naming the school's next president. Chairman Paul Goodpaster says the search committee has recommended its finalist for the job, and he'll meet with a select group of regents tomorrow to further discuss the process.
I would hope that after a conversation with a small group of regents on Friday and then a follow-up with the balance of the regents the first part of next week, hopefully here within the next week or so, we will be able to make a public comment as to timeline and the exact process for which we will proceed.
Goodpaster says it's still the board's goal to bring about 3 candidates to the MSU campus for interviews. Wayne Andrews' last official day as the university's 13th president is June 30th.
Western Kentucky University is primed to make their final decision on their next president. Mike Lindman has the story.
The Board of Regents is scheduled to vote Friday on whether to extend an offer to Dr. Timothy Caboni. He's currently a vice chancellor of public affairs at the University of Kansas. Media relations director Bob Skipper says a search firm helped narrow the field.
The full board came together and narrowed that search down to several candidates, conducted interviews, and then announced Dr. Caboni as the preferred candidate.
He would be the 10th president at Western Kentucky. I'm Mike Lindemann.
A search warrant executed in Floyd County resulted in one deputy being sent to the hospital yesterday. WYMT reports the search took place in the Burchett Trailer Court in Prestonburg. During the search, deputies discovered over 26 grams of crystal meth, six different types of prescription drugs, Suboxone, and needles loaded with crystal meth. Money was also found hidden inside the wall of the home. One deputy was overtaken by fumes being released from the chemicals used to make meth. He was taken to Highlands Regional Hospital, where he was treated and released. Officials say 35-year-old Randy Akers and 34-year-old Mary Bailey are charged with multiple drug-related charges and are lodged in the Floyd County Jail.
Kentucky State Police found and arrested a wanted fugitive in Lawrence County yesterday. According to WSAZ, 53-year-old James Garten of Ashland was wanted on charges of rape, sodomy, and endangering the welfare of a minor in connection to the sexual assault of a young girl. According to KSP Trooper Michael Muriel, Garten became a family friend of the victim to gain access to the child.
It is an issue that we see on a recurring basis in law enforcement. A lot of times when you have someone that commits these acts, they do seek out specific types of people. And it's unfortunate because a lot of times we as a society are very trusting in other people and don't want to think anything bad could happen. And a lot of times, unfortunately, something bad does happen.
Officials say Garten was charged with two counts of first-degree sexual abuse in a 2013 Greenup County case. He was taken to the Big Sandy Detention Center yesterday.
A Fleming County grand jury recently indicted five people. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports 23-year-old Levy Banks was indicted on two counts of first-degree criminal abuse, 56-year-old Margaret Kearns on two counts of third-degree assault, 58-year-old Richard Schatz on one count of first-degree trafficking in a controlled substance, 65-year-old Larry Gregory on possession of a handgun by a convicted felon, 43-year-old Jennifer Perry on one count of operating on a suspended license, one count of operating a motor vehicle under the influence of drugs, one count of possession of a controlled substance, and one count of possession of drug paraphernalia.
A new addiction recovery center has opened in Catlettsburg. The 16-bed Sanibel House will provide rehabilitation services for men suffering from substance abuse disorders and will operate 24/7. The center is owned and operated by Addiction Recovery Care of Louisa. Matt Brown is the center's spokesman. He says the Sanibel House and ARC has not only helped him overcome his addictions, but a number of other people as well.
The Addiction Recovery Care was one of the first, if not the very first, behavioral health service organization provider in the state, which allowed us to accept Medicaid for residential substance abuse treatment. And since January of 15, we have admitted over 1,000 clients.
Sanibel House is unique because it can perform both Phase 1 and Phase 2 of rehabilitations. It also has a registered nurse on staff at all times to provide medical care. The facility can assist clients with family, vocational, and educational needs as well.
A court date has been set for a Maysville woman who was charged with terrorism calling. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports 55-year-old Mary Castelli was arrested in September by Federal Bureau of Investigation agents. She was then taken into custody by the U.S. Marshal Service. A grand jury indictment returned claims against Castelli that on or around October 19, 2015 in Mason County, she did knowingly transmit in interstate and foreign commerce via the Internet communications intended to be a threat to injure a person. If convicted, Castelli could face up to 5 years on count one of the indictment and up to 8 years on count two, along with a fine of up to $250,000 on each count. Castelli has a conference date set for March 16th in the U.S. District Court in Covington. She is currently being held in custody at Campbell County Detention Center without a bond.
Maysville's police chief has been appointed to the Kentucky Agency for Substance Abuse Policy. Ron Rice was tapped for the post by Governor Bevin. Rice will serve as a term that expires September 20th, 2020. Rice says the board's work includes community education on the use of illegal substances. Part of the chief's duties are to represent local tobacco addiction and substance abuse advisory and coordination boards.
A road has been cleared of debris from a 215 landslide at Yeager Airport Safety Overrun area. The Charleston Gazette-Mail reports the last of the debris has been removed from the Kanawha County Road below the Hilltop Airport. Officials are now awaiting action by the State Division of Highways to reopen it. Airport Executive Director Terry Sayre told the Airport Board Wednesday new drainage culverts have been installed under the road and a nearby parking lot where a church once stood. The airport has spent about $4.1 million to clear 540,000 cubic yards of earth and rock. No one was injured in the landslide. Several homes acquired by the airport along the road were torn down.
Senator Mitch McConnell says Congress wants to tackle the nation's infrastructure needs, but has to do so in a financially responsible way. The Kentucky Republican says he doesn't want to see another big-ticket stimulus plan with no means to pay for it.
I don't think we ought to borrow almost $1 trillion and plus up a bunch of federal accounts, incur a lot of additional debt, and don't build any projects to speak of. So I can tell you what I'm against is a replication of the Obama stimulus package in 2009.
McConnell says Congress should not be adding to the country's $21 trillion debt.
One of the few successful non-incumbent Democrats to win a seat in the Kentucky House of Representatives last fall says he's not sure if his party needs restructuring. John Sims of Flemingsburg was elected to the seat formerly held by Mike Denham. However, the election was largely a Republican landslide, and the GOP captured supermajorities in both chambers of the legislature. Since then, some Kentucky Democrats have called for rebuilding their party. Sims thinks the real key is to be right on the issues, regardless of where the idea comes from.
I'm not a big party guy myself. You know, I'll go do what's right for the people. And, you know, it doesn't matter to me what side it comes from. If it's a good idea, it's a good idea. If it's bad, it's bad. That's the way I vote, and I've always done it like that.
Sims attributes his own victory to grassroots work, meeting voters face-to-face, and learning about their concerns.
The Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital in Ashland has been awarded a grant of nearly $21,000 for a program that supports children with disabilities or developmental issues. OLBH communications specialist Kevin Compton says the funds came from the WHAS Crusade for Children.
Their focus is they raise money to support agencies such as ours, schools, hospitals, whatever, that better the lives of special needs children, and that's precisely what our OLBH Pediatric Rehabilitation Program Department is about, so we were very much a fit for their mission.
Compton says the money went to the hospital's Whole Child Project, which establishes a case manager who works as a liaison between a child's physician, school, and service providers. To learn more, you can contact the OLBH Pediatric Rehabilitation Office at 606-833-3572.
A statewide women's organization will soon be holding an event in Grayson to spread the word about their programs. The Kentucky Foundation for Women will be at the Carter County Public Library February 4th for their Art Meets Activism Grant and Residency Workshop. Jen Rose Fitzgerald is the Grant Program Manager for the KWF. She says the goal of the event is to raise awareness on how the foundation can help artists help girls and women in the state.
We have a grant program called Art Meets Activism that happens every year. And we also have a summer residency program. And so the workshop basically has information about all of our programs and specific information about these two programs and how people can apply for them, who's eligible, and what basically the programs are about.
The event is open to Kentucky artists of all types. You can register to attend by emailing Fitzgerald at jenrose@kfw.org.
And finally, in news, Western Kentucky University is touting a new program aimed at easing students' transition into college. The program on the Bowling Green campus is called WKU Summer Start. Campus officials say it offers a summer introduction to college for first-year students, connecting them to campus life while living in residence halls. WKU officials say the program allows students to complete 6 credit hours and take advantage of tuition savings. They get to know other new students and staff through social events and activities. WKU Summer Sessions Coordinator Alicia Bingham says the program encourages faculty-student mentorships and will allow students to find out about campus resources that can help them throughout their college careers.
At the weather tonight, cloudy with a 20% chance of snow showers, lows in the upper 20s. Friday, cloudy with a 20% chance of snow showers, highs in the mid-30s. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of snow showers in the evening, then flurries possible late, lows in the mid-20s, chance of snow 20%. Saturday, partly sunny, highs around 40. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, flurries possible in the evening, then a chance of snow showers late, lows in the mid-20s, chance of snow 20%. Looking at the temperature for the MSPR listening area, Ashland 40 degrees, Flemingsburg 36 degrees, Winchester 36 degrees, Inez 38 degrees, Lexington 37 degrees, and Moorhead 37 degrees.
The time is 4:45. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Morrill here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad to be with you this Thursday afternoon. On our feature, Congress and the Trump White House appear likely to try to cut Medicaid and turn it into a block grant program, and some officials think that will result in states kicking people off the program. Dan Hyman reports from West Virginia.
The Trump administration and Republican leaders in Congress say Medicaid funding should be turned into block grants. They argue the increased flexibility would allow for spending cuts without cutting services, but critics say that's a false promise. Judith Solomon with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says going from a Medicaid that covers everyone who qualifies to one that gives states a set chunk of money comes with a catch. She says the budget plan so far passed by the GOP House would fund Medicaid below what the states would need.
And that's really the key point. The idea is to save the federal government money by cutting its expenditures and thereby shift the cost to the state.
More than 500,000 West Virginians rely on Medicaid, many of them in working poor families added under expansion through the Affordable Care Act. Rolling back expansion would reduce federal spending by $1 trillion over 10 years. Solomon says budget plans passed by Republicans in Congress included another $1 trillion reduction beyond that. People, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, have argued that block grant flexibility would let the states do more with less. But Solomon says for states to improve how their programs work, they have to spend more to put new systems in place. She says the block grant plans as described would make that impossible.
This is really a false promise. The cuts, like those in last year's Republican budget, would stymie state innovation that is already underway, which often requires upfront expenditures.
Solomon says states can apply for and get waivers to change how they run Medicaid now without losing funding. But she says the only additional flexibility they might get under block grants would be for things that would work to force people out of the program or cut what it covers.
And the states are not only left holding the bag for the costs, it's the states that have to make the very hard decisions about what to cut.
According to a recent study in the New England Journal of Medicine, for every 455 who gain insurance, one death per year is prevented. For the West Virginia News Service, I'm Dan Hyman.
Time is 4:48. This is Mountain Edition. Braxton Howard has sports, and he's coming up after this break.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Moorhead State men's basketball team has another OVC matchup tonight when they visit Tennessee Tech at 7. Winners of 7 of their last 10 games, the Eagles now sit at 9-11 on the year and 5-2 in conference play. Interim coach Preston Spradlin says his team is in for another tough matchup in Cookeville.
A really good Tennessee Tech team. I tell you, they gave us some wars last year, and I know they're very good this year. They're especially good offensively. They're a very good offensive team. They run great stuff. So we'll have to make sure that we're prepared for that.
Tech is 8-14 on the season, 4-3 in conference. The Morehead State women's basketball team is preparing for a quick turnaround as they get set to take on Jacksonville State Saturday. MSU moved to 16-5 on the year with a 79-65 win over Tennessee Tech last night at Johnson Arena. Head coach Greg Todd says despite being 6-2 in the OVC now, his team still has room to improve.
Give Tech credit. They outworked us on the boards, beat us up a little bit rebounding, but that's an area we just have to keep getting better at.
Jacksonville State is 9-11 this season, 2-6 in the OVC. The Kentucky basketball team has a top-five showdown in Rupp Arena this weekend. The Cats will entertain number 2 Kansas at 6:15 Saturday evening. Coming off of Tuesday's loss at Tennessee, head coach Sean Calipari isn't pleased with the way his young team is sharing the ball.
You know what everybody's doing right now? Whoever has it holds it as long as they can until they make a pass. And the pass they want to make is the hero scoring pass. Just not, we're not playing how we were 2 weeks ago. Maybe we got arrogant. Maybe, again, it comes back to what I'm accepting as a coach. And obviously, I'm accepting this kind of play from young kids. And we, you know, I've got to do a better job, and I will.
Kansas is 18-2 on the year, but is coming off of an 85-69 loss at West Virginia on Tuesday. Louisville's response to the NCAA offers a deeper look into what happened over the last year. Will Clark has more.
The 200-page response, 43 of which are Coach Rick Pitino's response, acknowledges that violations occurred, calling them appalling and inexcusable. The violations involve former staffer Andre McGee on multiple occasions that he allegedly brought strippers to Minardi Hall. In the filing, the school admits there was one recruit who did not go to U of L because of the strippers, saying, quote, "It kind of turned me off about the school." The school is formally fighting the allegation against Pitino he did not monitor McGee. I'm Will Clark.
Duke basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski, who has missed the Blue Devils' last five games as he continues to recover from back surgery, held a team meeting this week in which he informed his players that they are temporarily banned from the locker room and are also forbidden from wearing Duke apparel until they, quote, start living up to the Duke standard, according to ESPN. Duke is 15-5 on the year, but has lost four of its last seven games. The Round County girls basketball team travels to Russell tonight to face off with the defending 16th region champions. After dropping Tuesday's home game to Fleming County 55-46, head coach Elaine Douglas says her young team still has a lot of growing pains to work through, especially on offense.
I see a lot of times the kids will pass up an open shot or they won't see a cutter. And again, I think that comes with your growing pains because, like I said, I've got at least three freshmen on the floor all the time. The varsity pace that they have to play against juniors and seniors, they're just not accustomed to that.
Russell is 13-8 this season. As for the Round boys, they travel to take on Mason County tomorrow. Hiring football coaches has become familiar territory for Round County over the last several years. The school is searching for its fourth head coach in 5 years after Gene Peterson resigned after just one season to become an assistant coach at Moorhead State. Round principal Ray Ginter says the school knows what they're looking for in their next head man.
Having somebody that's going to come in and stick around, you know, live in Moorhead, be an integral part of the community, I think that's going to be very important for us. And as far as our selection committee goes, you know, we're going to look this time for somebody that gets along with the kids like Coach Peterson did, and we're going to try to match all the characteristics he had. Now, that's going to be tough, but that's our goal.
Round went 2-9 last season under Peterson. Morgan County has already found their new head football coach. The Cougars hired former assistant coach Mark Easterling to take over for head man Brian Turner, who was fired after 8 seasons. Easterling says he is excited about the opportunity.
It's been a lifelong dream growing up as a Cougar fan, growing up as a Cougar player. My dad was on the staff for several years as I was growing up. So very excited, very exciting time for me and my family. And it's kind of a lifelong dream, and words can't express how excited I am to get started.
Morgan County went just 1-9 last season. Finally in sports, the scene is half set for the men's final at the Australian Open. AP correspondent Graham Agars reports.
Roger Federer has won through to his sixth Australian Open final, but not before a dramatic five-set win over Stan Wawrinka. Federer almost let a 2-sets-to-love lead slip away, but refocused in the fifth set to close it out 6-3 in a battle that lasted just over 3 hours. Federer is now through to a record-extending 28th Grand Slam final, but has to wait 24 hours to find out whether he will play either Rafael Nadal or the 15th-seeded Bulgarian Grigor Dimitrov in the final. The 35-year-old Swiss will be aiming for an unprecedented 18th Grand Slam title. Graham Agars, Melbourne.
That's it for sports. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host Murray State on Wednesday, February 1st. Tip-off is set for 6 o'clock p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
From the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons, this is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. A day after cracking the 20,000 level for the first time, the Dow Industrials was more subdued in today's trading, although the Dow Industrials did finish with a small gain of 32.4, finishing at 20,100.91. The broader market was weaker as the S&P 500 was down 1.69 at 2296.68 and the NASDAQ Composite was down 1.16 at 5655.18. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 15 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. In earnings news, Caterpillar's earnings beat estimates, but revenue and forward guidance missed expectations, and the stock was down 1%. Ford beat on revenue, but affirmed 2017's outlook as generally lower than in 2016, and the stock was down over 3%. Google parent Alphabet, after the close today, reported earnings that missed estimates, and the shares were punished as they were down 2.5% in after-hours trading. Microsoft beat earnings expectations for the fourth quarter, and the stock was up 1% in after-hours trading. And also in the tech sector, Intel beat estimates on both earnings and revenue, and the stock was very strong after-hours as it was trading up over 2% from where it closed at 4 o'clock. In the commodities markets, oil was up over 1%, and gold was down over 1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were DuPont and Boeing, and your worst performers were Verizon and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were United Rentals and Royal Caribbean, and the worst performers were Mattel and Whirlpool. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 29 cents at 116.19, CSX up 81 cents at 48.60, AEP up 10 cents at 62.63, AK Steel down 7 cents at 8.19, Marathon Petroleum down 23 cents at 49.44, and Anthem was down $1.32 to finish at 152.39. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, presenting the Steep Canyon Rangers in concert with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m., Friday, February 3rd. The featured touring band for Steve Martin and Grammy Award winners for Best Bluegrass Album, the Steep Canyon Rangers blend high-energy bluegrass music with Americana mountain music. Steep Canyon Rangers with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 3rd at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets and information online, Facebook, or 606-889-9125. Final look at the weather tonight, cloudy with a 20% chance of snow showers, lows in the upper 20s. Friday, cloudy with a 20% chance of snow showers, highs in the mid-30s. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of snow showers in the evening, then flurries possible late, lows in the mid-20s, chance of rain 20%. Saturday, partly sunny, highs around 40. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, flurries possible in the evening, then a chance of snow showers late, lows in the mid-20s, chance of snow 20%. Sunday, cloudy with a 40% chance of snow showers, highs in the mid-30s. Sunday night, cloudy with snow showers likely, lows in the mid-20s, chance of snow 70%, and Moorhead is 37 degrees.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Dan Conti, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, and Victoria Agee. We also had help from Dan Hyman and Mike Lindemann. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.
Thank you.